Good morning. How are you? As you know, we are in week four of our series in the book of Jonah that I'm calling Who's at the Helm? This morning, we're going to be taking a look at what to do when things don't go your way. If you take out your message notes, you can follow along with me. Jonah is this rogue prophet. He's a reluctant prophet. He's a resistant prophet. I told you earlier that he was racially prejudiced when God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah is like, I'm not doing it. There are enemies. They're politically different from us. I don't like those guys. In fact, I hate them. I don't want you to bless them, God. I don't want you to forgive them. I don't want you to do anything of that nature. And so let's just go over what we've learned so far. So far in chapter 1, we saw Jonah running from God. He told God, God, I don't want to do your plan. I want to do my plan. To chapter 2, Jonah is repenting and running back to God. And he prays, okay, God, I'll do it. And then last week in chapter 3, Jonah is restarting and running with God. He's like, I'm in, but he has a terrible attitude about it. But at least he's doing what God is telling him to do. And now we come to chapter 4. And we're going to see Jonah regretting and resenting because God's plans are not what Jonah plans. And he doesn't like that. And so what we're going to look at today is quickly, I want to review the mistakes that Jonah makes up to this point and point out a couple of more mistakes that he makes in this chapter. And then we're going to see what should we do when things don't go our way. Because by now you know that life, and probably most of life, doesn't go the way that you want it. Nothing works perfectly on this planet. Your plans don't always work out perfectly. A lot of times we make plans and the exact opposite happens. And Jonah had plans for what he wanted God to do. But God had plans, and when God did his plans instead of Jonah's plans, Jonah gets all resentful and regretful. And so 5 mistakes that Jonah made. And let's not do the same thing because it just makes life miserable. So number 1, Jonah thought that he could ignore his mission. And so he runs from God. You can run from God for the rest of your life until you can't run anymore. And you've just wasted your life. Number 2, Jonah was prejudiced against the people that God created. And that's always going to make you miserable. And number 3, Jonah cared more about his politics than people's salvation. And Jonah says, God says, I want to save the city of Nineveh. And Jonah goes, there are enemies. Don't do it. He cared more about his politics. And number 4, Jonah was only interested in his nation, not the whole world. That's a mistake. And number 5, Jonah reluctantly fulfilled the mission that God gave to him. He eventually goes to Nineveh. And instead of giving a message of love and forgiveness, he walks in and he says, you guys are going to die? Bye. Not exactly a positive message, or not exactly expressing God's love to these people. And now as we get to chapter 4, we find 2 more mistakes, and they both involve resentment. Because Jonah doesn't get his way, he gets resentful. Let me just interject that at any time you get resentful, you're going to hurt yourself way more than the other person that you're resentful against. There are people who hurt you maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and you're still holding on to that hurt. Do you know that they can't hurt you anymore unless you hold on to the memory of it? It's called resentment. And resentment is bad against anyone, but the worst kind of resentment is when you have resentment against God. And maybe you haven't thought about it much, but you probably have had at times in your life where you're like, God, why did you do that? Or God, why did you let that happen? And you get resentful towards God. And that can cause all kinds of problems. So now let's look at Jonah's mistake. He makes two mistakes here. And go ahead and write these down in your notes today so you don't make the same mistakes. Number one is that resenting God's plan when it doesn't fit my plan. That's what Jonah did. Well, like, have you ever done that? You got mad at God when you had a plan and your plan for graduation or your plan for marriage or your plan for this job or that job or whatever, it just didn't happen. And resentment is like this deadly poison. It's like drinking arsenic and hoping it kills your opponent. The reality is it will always hurt you more than it hurts anybody else. But resentment against God is especially bad. Why is Jonah resentful? I'll tell you why. Because he wanted his enemies, the city of Nineveh, to be destroyed. But God's going, I want to forgive them. I want to warn them, and maybe they'll turn back to me. And Jonah's like, I hope not. Right? I don't want you to forgive them. I don't want you to let them off the hook. And in Jonah 3:10, the last verse of chapter 3, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way. Now, pretty wicked city. They were brutal there in Nineveh. God relented of the disaster that he said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now this is what got Jonah upset, and he becomes angry. And Jonah is hoping that God will destroy Nineveh, and when he doesn't, he gets resentful. How do you and I know when we're getting resentful towards God? Well, you see some signs. And one is frustration. Jonah was displeased there in verse 1. And when God, I'm going to forgive the whole city, and everyone is rejoicing except for Jonah. Why? Because he wants them to be destroyed, and so he's so frustrated. Second is anger, and Jonah was displeased and he was angry. Right, he lost his temper. He was livid that God didn't destroy the people who had hurt him. And number three is self-pity. When you have self-pity, oftentimes resentment is right behind it. And in verse 2, Jonah has a little pity party, and he invites, you know, me, myself, and I. Right, that's what we do. That's what happens when we are resentful. And then number four is depression. And in verse 3, we see Jonah say to God, just take my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. And at this point, this is extreme resentment. This is severe depression. My plans didn't work out, and so I don't want to live. Just take my life. Just not rational thinking by Jonah here. And when you start to think about all the things that God has done for Jonah so far in his life, all the stuff that he has survived because of the miracles that God has performed, he survives a storm, being thrown overboard, being swallowed by a fish, and he's still alive, and now he's going, I just want to die. This is what happens when you hold hate in your heart. So can I strongly suggest to you this morning, whoever you're holding resentment against, you're holding hatred against, holding hurt against, would you just let it go? If you hold on to it in your heart, hatred in your heart produces resentment, that produces frustration and anger and self-pity and depression. It's just a spiral downward progression that does you no good in your life. Here's a second mistake that Jonah makes. Resenting God's mercy to other people. When God is good to people that I don't want him to be good to, that's when we get upset. When God is merciful to people and forgives them, and that just makes us angry, and it's exactly what happened to Jonah. You say, I would never think that. I'm going to say, yes, you do. Right? Jonah 4:2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. In other words, this is exactly why I ran away, Jonah says. I knew that you were going to be gracious and compassionate, God. I knew you were going to be slow to anger. I knew you were going to be filled with unfailing love. I knew you would forgive them rather than punish them. And all of that knowledge right there, what does it do for Jonah? It depresses him. Really? It's like, come on now. All of these good things about God, and Jonah gets depressed. Why? Because Jonah has the same problem that you and I have. Right? We want forgiveness for ourselves, but we want justice for everybody else. We want God to show us grace. We want God to show us mercy. But the guy who hurt me, God, you like get that person. Right? He or she deserves justice. I don't deserve justice. I deserve grace and mercy. And Jonah cries out to God to forgive him, but he doesn't want God to do the same for anyone else who has hurt him. And so he resents God. And let's get real for a second. Let's not talk about the guy from 1,000 years ago. Let's talk about us. Who is it that you don't want God to forgive? Who has hurt you to the point that you don't want God to show them mercy? This is what we call the Jonah trap. And it happens as much today as it did back then. Why do we need to forgive them? Three reasons. When we need to let it go, no matter how badly. Do they deserve it? No. But I don't either. Forgiveness is never deserved. For forgiveness is never earned. Forgiveness is a gift. And so we let them off the hook for three reasons. First is we've all been forgiven a lot in the past. So we need to forgive others. Second, holding on to hurt just makes us miserable. And here's what happens. I end up thinking about people that I don't want to think about. And then thirdly, I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. And so we have to let it go. Not because they deserve it, but because holding on to hurt hurts you. And Jonah gets mad because God does some good stuff to people who have repented. And Jonah gets irritated because God shows grace to people that Jonah didn't like. You think he'd be more gracious. Now, because of this, in the second half of this chapter, God has to teach Jonah an object lesson. And it's one that we all have to learn. And we know that life is full of interruptions and dead ends and detours. And all of our plans get kicked out to the side of the door so often, don't they? And we get so many messed up plans in our lives. And so it brings us to the question, what to do when things don't go my way? We need to remember four things that we see in the last half of this chapter, this last half of chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. So things aren't going your way in life. And so what do you do when our plans don't match up with God's plans? The first thing you do is you remember that God can see things I can't. I just have to remind myself of this. Jonah is all upset that God had said that he would destroy the city if they didn't turn to him. But if they did, God said that he would let them off the hook. And Jonah's all upset about that. Look at verse 4 with me. And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry? Jonah, what right do you have to be angry? Why should you be mad at me that I've forgiven these people?" God says to him. And he's saying to Jonah, like, are you God? Do you see the things that I see? Anytime you doubt God's wisdom, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You know why? because God's God and you are not. I say that a lot, but it's so true. Well, when I have a plan and God has his plan and they are different and I get upset over that, I just need to remember that God can see stuff that I can't. God can see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. He's not limited by time. He can see what you and I can't see. And so I need to trust his wisdom. And when we don't, we get into trouble. And God had to deal with a lot of people in the Bible, not just Jonah, in this area. Another guy named Job, and in Job 38, God says to Job, "Who are you to question my wisdom? Where were you, Job, when I made the world? Are you God? Can you see the things that I see? Do you know more than I do? Do you think that your plan is better than my plan?" God's like, "I don't think so." Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, and yet so that he can not find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Did you catch that first part of the verse? God is never late. He has made everything in its time. We might think he's late, but he's not. People cannot completely understand what he is doing and see the whole scope of his work from beginning to end. We just don't have the brain capacity to understand God's plan, right? We can't see all of history. And God is saying, don't doubt me. Don't doubt me when you're going through tough times. I know what's going on. I know where it's headed. I know the ending. Remember, God can see things we can't. Now look at verse 5. Jonah went out of the city, sat down to the east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade until he should see what would become of the city. Right? Can you believe this guy, Jonah? He's still hoping. Even though God said he's going to forgive the city, Jonah is still hoping that God's going to destroy them. And so what does he do? He leaves town. He goes up on the hillside outside of town. He sits down and he's just going to like watch the show. He's out there and he's ready and he's waiting for God to destroy the biggest city in the known world. Right? It's going to be good. He sets up the lawn chair, right? Gets the iced tea out and gets the chips and the guacamole. And he just waits to see the destruction of Nineveh. Which brings us to the second thing we need to remember when things don't go our way. That God is good to me even when I'm cranky. Right? Like when I'm going through a tough time that I don't understand, I need to understand this. God is good to me even when I'm cranky. Like Jonah is mad at God, but God is still going to be good to him. And in verse 6, we see that when our attitude is terrible, God is still gracious to us. Look at verse 6 with me. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from the discomfort. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Jonah's being a jerk, but God still cares for his discomfort. Notice here what it says. Now the Lord God appointed. Write that word down in your notes. It is the same word we saw when God appointed the great fish. Here he appointed a huge leaf plant to spring up quickly and to provide shade over Jonah while he is sitting there. And God is worried about Jonah's discomfort, even though Jonah's attitude is awful. And here's my point. My point is that God cares about you even when you're just kind of being a jerk. All I'm saying here is that we have no idea how many times God has made our lives comfortable when we didn't deserve it. When we may be going in the opposite direction of where God wants us to go, and he's still covering us with shade, right? He loves us when we're unlovable. And we need to remember that God is good to us even when we're cranky. We need to remember that we have no idea how many times God has made our lives easier when it could have been harder and we didn't even deserve it. It's simply because of the grace of God. All right, here's the third thing to do when things don't go our way is to remember that God is in control of every detail in my life. Right? He's in control of the big and the little, the large and the small, the fast and the slow, every detail of our lives. Plans in our lives don't fail randomly, right? There is a purpose. There is a reason behind everything in your life. And God is teaching this lesson to Jonah. He actually uses an object lesson of this plant that he's grown to give comfort to Jonah to show him that God is in control of the details. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plants so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so he was faint. And he asked that he might die. And he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Now so far we've seen God appointing all kinds of things in Jonah's life. Right, he appointed the fish, he appointed the plant, a worm, he appointed the sun to be down. And this is just a short list of things that God has appointed in Jonah's life. The thing is that disappointments in our lives are God's appointments. What looks like a disappointment is really his appointment. It might not be your plan, but God has a plan. God is God, and we're not, remember? The more we fight God's plan, the more miserable you're going to be. And then frustration and anger and self-pity and depression sets in. But if we go with the flow and we say, "God, I trust your wisdom. I trust that you are good to me, even when I don't deserve it. You give me comfort even when I'm running away. I'm still breathing air. I'm still drinking water. My heart is still beating." Those are all gifts from God. I wouldn't last one second without the grace of God in my life. And so God has appointed everything from a great wind to a little worm. Here's the deal. In your life, sometimes God appoints something really big to swallow you up like that big fish. He appoints circumstances to swallow you up, and you're heading in the wrong direction. And when it spits you out, now you're heading in the right direction. At other times, God appoints something brand new that comes up suddenly, and it's like this plant that sprung up, and it provides shade for you in your life, right? To give you comfort. And even when you're not where you should be, but God has given you comfort even in that situation. And then sometimes God appoints something small to eat away at what's been giving you comfort so you won't stay there. Right? He wants to move you. He wants to get you going. He doesn't want you sitting on a hill under a shade plant for the rest of your life. In all of those situations, big, little, whatever, God is in every situation. In every case, God's motive is love. Right? He's doing it because he loves you. Not because he hates you, not to punish you. He's doing it because he loves you. And God is a God of wisdom. He's a God of grace. And we might not see the beginning to the end, but he is doing it, whether it's big or small or new in our lives, he's doing it because he loves us. And so God creates this short-lived plant to provide shade to Jonah. And then he allows it to die the next morning as an object lesson for Jonah. Verse 9 says this, but God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die." Jonah's just not getting it, right? He's not learning the lesson. This is exactly what we're learning not to do. Jonah totally misses the point. When things don't go my way, I need to remember, number four, to focus on what will last. I remember that God can see what I can't see. I remember that God is good when I'm being cranky. I remember that God is in control of every detail of my life, and I remember to focus on what will last. The bottom line here is he is saying, if you're going to get stressed out by something, make sure it's something that matters, right? That's going to last. Look at verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? The question that we need to ask ourselves is, who do we care about the most? The plant that is given to you in comfort, or the salvation of people that God has created and loves and wants them to know him? I just think the greatest use of your life is to invest it in something that lasts. We need to focus on what will last. And there's really only two things that last in this world. The United States of America isn't going to last, right? Starbucks isn't going to last. The two things that are going to last are the Word of God and people. God's truth is eternal. And it will be true in a million years from today. It was true a million years ago. And people will last in one of two places. They'll either last in heaven or hell. And what we do with our time now is so very important, because it may have an impact on eternity. And so we need to focus on doing God's work first and allow him to work in us and through us. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thanks for your word today. Thanks for your goodness to us. And God, we pray that as your people, we can forgive the way that you forgive. That we can let go of any resentment that we have towards anyone. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy and the plan that you have for each one of our lives. My prayer this morning is that we would be relentless in doing the work that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.